We moved it to Thursday because we figured that's a day that you don't have to come to Ann Arbor and talk to coaches or players or anything. So you always invite it.
I mean, how does that benefit me? I'm not driving to Ann Arbor on Thursday. So, I mean, how am I supposed to go get a smoothie?
We'll put one in the freezer for her. It'll be good for her on Friday.
Oh, okay.
We could do that. We could do that. And I could have Sam or Ira deliver it to you when you guys go.
See, I'm always thinking of our girl over there.
Yes, you are. That you are.
See? Angelique, you had a chance to talk with Ed Warner. You guys talked for a long time. And I actually heard the questions you were asking.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sort of offensive line obsessed. I've been that way for a long time. And, yeah, I mean, I thought he was pretty forthcoming, Jamie. I mean, I guess what I wanted to know is, yes. I mean, I asked Harbaugh after the Notre Dame game, would they keep the same offensive line? And he said yes, and they did. And what I wanted to know is, okay, where is James Hudson in this? I mean, how close is he? Everyone got to see the backups in last week against Western, and I suspect against this team coming up, SMU, you and I might actually get subbed in there on the offensive line. I mean, it's going to be that kind of game where, you know, they're going to be able to play a lot of players again like they did last week. They got 74 guys out there. And, I just wanted to know where those guys are and how – I mean, he said it's a work in progress, the offensive line. And I know that means that the players are still working and progressing, but – does it mean it's a locked-in five? And, of course, it's not. But I wanted to hear him say that it's not and that the door is open. And Hudson is getting, you know, I think he said Mayfield's getting 25% of the work with the first team, and Hudson's getting more. So I would think he's ahead of the game there, and it's somebody that could make a move into the starting five.
Well, we've been hearing that the James Hudson's name for a while. And, I'm just looking for him. I was surprised at the Notre Dame game, but you know what? I get it. You went with the veteran guys because you're going against a Power 5 elite team, right?
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes I wonder about that. I mean, are you really going to be that nervous because you're playing at Notre Dame? I mean, I don't know. They know their players better, but I've always wondered about that. Like, you know, okay, so this might be their first start. I've seen freshmen start in big games. I mean, other programs, it's not, or younger. I mean, he's not a freshman, but a young, inexperienced player. I've seen that happen, and a guy who obviously moved over from the defense. But I understood. I mean, Warner said that was, you know, that was something that they considered, is putting a guy on a stage like that who hasn't been in that situation. And so I totally understand that. But I did get the sense that Hudson is on his way and really progressing very well. And I remember talking to a couple of the coaches this summer, Jamie, at some of those camps in Ann Arbor, and they weren't offensive coaches, they were defensive coaches, saying that he's made the right move. He's definitely positioned better on offense, and they all thought that he was a guy who would make a move this fall and be very much part of things on that offensive line.
Well, it sounds like he's in the minds of these coaches. I would have thrown him in there, but Ed Warner made a great statement to you guys. You know, sometimes it depends on like you said, these coaches know the kids better than what we do because they're around them all the time. If he would have got blown up there or something like that, it could have ruined his whole confidence level of becoming that offensive lineman, you know?
Yes, I thought that was very astute, and I had not considered that, and especially the tackles. I mean, you know, I think that was a really important piece of information that he shared, and I could totally see that. And now they're easing him in and, you know, easing the younger guys in that way, and I think that's smart, and that's why I think that this game on Saturday, I mean, I've got to believe it's going to be a blowout, a big blowout again. I mean, this is a team that's given up 44 points a game and, you know, just ranked at the bottom of pretty much most of the categories, offense and defense. And I think that this game will give them another chance to ease these guys into game speed and get them acclimated. And, of course, it's probably nicer to do it at home, too, in a friendly environment. So I totally understand where he's coming from. But it was nice to hear him talk about it. We haven't talked to him since the spring, Ed Warner, I mean. And, you know, we've heard all the players talk glowingly about him and the confidence that he's brought them and how he simplified things, and they all have responded very well to that. And you know, I think he's really happy with where Cesar Ruiz is. Mm-hmm. He really likes Michael Wenyu, and you know, I think that you know, certainly he's happy with it. I mean, Harbaugh said Bredesen was the best of the linemen, and I think there were a couple plays everybody saw last week that Bredesen certainly earned that accolade. So you know, again, it's hard to say. You know, Jamie, when you play a team like Western, you play a team like SMU, you know, is it the opponent? Are they getting better? You know, it's hard, the give and take, but they're definitely getting experience, and that's all you can ask for right now in weeks 2 and 3.
No, that's definitely right. I mean, you build your confidence on these games, I guess. I mean, they're the next games on the schedule. It's a chance to build the confidence, and you know, to the point where they do the right things. Not going through the motions, I don't want to say. Like you said, at game speed, and mm-hmm. you're blocking the right way, the way that they've been teaching them and going through it. So you lock it in, muscle memory, and then when you get into those bigger games, the games that everybody wants to see Michigan dominate, it becomes muscle memory. You just got to outplay the guy in front of you.
Yeah, and you're not thinking about it because it's muscle memory. I mean, you're just not thinking. The game's faster then. It slows down for the player, but they're playing faster. So, I think obviously would they wanted a game like last week or this week ahead of the Notre Dame game? Certainly. But I thought Shea Patterson said something interesting on the radio in Detroit yesterday, Jamie. I mean, he said maybe it's going to be a good thing. You know, it's
right.
Yes, he told fans to relax, but maybe that is the kind of thing. And I've heard a couple players talk about it. You know, make small references to that they knew how close they were, and they knew that they imploded. Defense certainly knew that early, and they felt like, you know, what Chase Winovich said after the game was, I still don't know how this happened. And they know now. They know how that happened, and he knew then. But I think they're taking a lot from that and understanding where they are and where they need to be. And I think they actually feel like they're closer than other people might think. And I think when Shea's saying relax, I think he's, you know, I'm not saying, oh, he's on, he knows something, he knows they've got something. But he is confident in what they're doing and in play calling and how they're using him. So I think that's where the relaxed comment comes from, and that they feel like, you know, he said it was a touchdown loss to Notre Dame. After that tough start, they still had a chance to win it. So I think they're kind of hanging on to that right now more than anything.
So the play of Shea Patterson, I mean, from Notre Dame to Western Michigan, I mean, it looked like he improved. It looked like they had him on the center a little bit more than they did at Notre Dame. And maybe I think they protected him a lot better. You look at the opponent, look at you know, everything like that. But they made a concerted effort to make sure that he could throw the ball and that he could get it downfield.
Boy, he's accurate, isn't he? I mean,
yeah.
Ojo and I have been talking about this. Best quarterback since, and I'm at Michigan, and I'm thinking since Chad Henne. I mean, and just in terms of consistency and ability, and you know, he's made some throws on the run, and what does Harbaugh call them? High-level throws. And it's something that they have not had consistently. Michigan hasn't had in a while. And, you know, I think people are like, wow, geez, why is Harbaugh keeping those starters in so late last week? And, A, I think he's done that before in other blowouts where he's kept guys in because I think he thinks they need to get into a rhythm. They need to work together more in a game situation. And, you know, I think that benefits Shea Patterson, too. He's still trying to figure out people and who he's working with and timing. And I think the upside is very obvious with Shea Patterson, and I think he's just going to keep getting better, and I think SMU's going to make him look really good.
Well, again, it's all about muscle memory. We talked about this. If Shea sees himself throwing touchdown passes and he's throwing touchdown passes, he gets that confidence builds up. It doesn't matter who they play, but they're playing at a game speed level. They may not be playing the same talent, but they're playing game speed level. They got a big crowd, but like you said, at home, doing what they're supposed to be doing. Look, I in the beginning, I did like ask myself in the third quarter, why are they still out there? But then I said, well, wait a minute. Remember the Notre Dame game. They need as much work as they can get.
That's right. That's right. And I have no problem with that. And, you know, people are like, well, what about injuries? Okay, those can happen anytime. I just think that was really what he was gunning for. And I know I've seen Harbaugh because there were a couple games in his first 3 years. I'm like, geez, why are these guys still out there? And, you know, it's only going to benefit them. And it's going to benefit Patterson and his receivers in terms of timing. And obviously the run game was going strong. And you know, here and there, they brought in new guys. They brought in younger guys and experienced guys. And again, they're going to have that opportunity. Unless I'm way wrong, I'm looking at this SMU team. They're going to have a lot of opportunities to do that on Saturday before they get into the Big Ten season a week later against Nebraska. But, you can sit there and say, oh, it's the opponent. But you're right. In the end, it's getting game experience against whoever it is and doing what you have. You know, what they did on Saturday too, Jamie, they didn't get the shutout, but they did. They pounded a team they should pound. And you know, I played tennis, and I remember I had a doubles partner who just didn't get that. I'm like, we're way better than this team. We have to beat them badly. And that's what they did. I mean, you have to do that. You can't let anybody, you know, play, stay kind of close, even within a couple touchdowns. That's not how it works. You've got to step on the jugular. And I'll name drop here. I went to high school with Oscar Robertson's daughters, and we were killing a basketball team, as we always did.
Mm-hmm.
His daughters were on the team, and my mom was sitting next to him and said, geez, Oscar, you know, isn't it this, they're killing him. Isn't this bad? Maybe they should, you know, back off. And he's like, no, you step on the jugular and you keep your foot there. And I've always remembered that. I mean, if the big O says it, okay, I'm going to do whatever he says.
Jamie, have you ever seen this competitive side of Angelique before?
When you talk tennis, when she talks tennis, oh yeah, she's all about competitiveness. Oh my goodness,
pretty much my entire makeup. Don't get me started.
Okay, well then here, I'll ask you, I'll get back to, you know, one comment that Coach Warner made talking about the offensive line was, I believe he said Caesar came in and they were talking and he goes, now the offensive linemen are starting to understand not only what they need to do, but how their job affects everybody else on that offensive line. Are you getting the sense that they're really starting to understand that and getting that sense of security in the game plan?
Well, yeah, and that was a really good point. And that was something that I had asked him. From that, I think I led into, you know, you want to, offensive line is the position group you obviously have to have the most chemistry and the most consistency, and that's why you want to get a starting five that can just stay in there week after week. And, you know, when I asked him about moving in some of these other guys, his point was, in practice, the twos are playing with the ones so much that there isn't any kind of a distraction. Like, let's say Spinellis came in for a Wenyu, and Caesar's not going to look at him and go, geez, I haven't played next to this guy. He's played with him in practices, and he knows how he thinks. He knows how he plays. And, yes, I think they're all understanding that if position one screws up position two, it's going to be a little bit of a chain reaction or someone's going to have to overcompensate. So they are understanding, and I think that's part of the simplifying process that Ed Warner brought. And it's not new to playing offensive line. I think that's been pretty consistent over all these years of college football that offensive linemen have to be on the same page. But I think that he's saying that this group does finally get it. And it's not just the ones. It's the twos who could be almost interchangeable. They're not there yet, but there's always going to be that possibility that if any of these backups come in, there's not going to be a drop-off. And it sort of reminded me a little bit of the way Greg Madison talks about the defensive line and how he has, you know, eight starters and nine maybe, and guys he can keep rotating in without any drop-off. And, you know, I think that's the kind of sense I got from Ed Warner in this offensive line. And they all understand that they have to work together. And I don't want to say that's not how they thought last year, but I think that they have less that they're thinking about, and they can focus on that. And that's pretty important for this position group, that's for sure.
No, that makes sense, but they're not looking over their shoulders, are they? I mean,
No, I don't think so. I mean, look, Juwan Bushel-Beatty spoke to us the other night, and he said they know what people think, and I asked him, what do you mean? How do you know? And he said they scroll through social media, and I'm sure they've seen pointed attacks at them. I mean, some people are not as subtle on Twitter, so I'm sure that they read things about him. But are they looking over their shoulder? I don't know. I don't think so. But I think that they understand that going back to Harbaugh's his first year, the meritocracy, that's very much in play here. And maybe Ed Warner didn't use those words, but that's certainly what he was saying, is if there's someone who's playing better in practice, they're going to get that chance.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't. It's not about looking over your shoulder. It's about competing every day.
Right. So you brought it up, the defensive line. There's two guys that are week to week, mm-hmm. day to day. I mean, do we know any timetable on these two?
No, I asked Jim on Monday, and he said no timetable. Just said week to week. Put him in questionable. I'm not sure.
We're talking about Aubrey Solomon and Lawrence Marshall, right?
That's right. Yep, that's correct. And so now you've got guys like Carlo Kemp in there, and a guy who moved from the outside in, and you know he wanted that challenge. He approached Greg Madison about that before the spring, and he said he was still playing both positions in the spring, and sometimes it was very complicated and a challenge, but really tough to juggle. But I think he feels really good at it. He's gained like 26 pounds
mm-hmm.
since last year, so he could take on a couple, you know, double team him. What did he say? 600 pounds. And I can't imagine what that must be like. But, I don't know when those guys are going to be back. And but, you know, Harbaugh, the fact that he's not saying they're never coming back this season, that's always a good sign. He hasn't closed the door on Tariq Black either. So these could be a couple-week kind of things.
You brought up Tariq Black. Let's talk about the wide receivers. The wide receivers look good this week, Angelique. They look fluid. They Nico Collins looks like he is the real deal. He gets behind people now.
Yeah, he's physical too. I like him.
And
he's good. And Peoples Jones he's got to come along a little bit more. I mean, but you know, he came out and talked to us this week too, and mm-hmm. he seems more confident too, Jamie. And I think that it all goes back to they're all confident in Shea Patterson too, and that's a big part of it. But they also, I think they're all benefiting from Jim McElwain and Roy Rowntree,
mm-hmm.
and they're getting a lot of coaching. And I think that they are really, really responding to those two guys, and they've talked about them a lot. So, but again, I mean, Nico Collins is, I think he can be dynamic. And he's a guy who can give them that big boost when they need it. He did in the second half in the opening drive against Notre Dame. And obviously we know where that drive went. But,
mm-hmm.
I think that there is definitely potential there. And then you got Ambry Thomas.
Right.
And I like that move.
And so have we made that move? We he's going to be on the offensive side too?
Yeah, he's going to do it too. And he's very funny. I mean, he talked to us Tuesday night, and I said, you know, how much did you work on offense last week heading into the Western game? He said, oh, it was just a couple plays every day. And I said, so about the same this week? And he just kind of goes, yeah. And then he just has this big smile. So I'm thinking that means they're giving him a little bit more work and time on offense in practice. And he is fast. I mean, why not take advantage of somebody like that?
Sure.
And a guy who wants to do it. I mean, he wanted to do it last year, and he came out and told us, and then he said the other night that Harbaugh shut him down after that. Like, yeah, no, not yet. And then Harbaugh, you know, he waited till Harbaugh came to him and said, okay, now's the time. So I think he could be pretty exciting.
Yeah, it could be great.
And somebody that you certainly just at least have to account for when he's on the field.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's I think, a big part of it, too. And does he give him that kind of that decoy, like, oh, you got to think about him. So that's part of the mind game, isn't it, coaching?
Well, he definitely can stretch the field. I mean, he'll like you said, people will point out there's number one over there, number one. So they'll have to account for him, and maybe that opens up someone else, you know. Well, you know, they kept the tight ends a little bit in, too. We haven't used the tight ends as effectively as I thought they would, but they're going to get there once they get the offensive line solidified, right?
Yeah, I would think so, because I was the one saying, oh, going into the season, Jamie, oh, yeah, I think Zach Gentry and Sean McCann are going to be huge assets. So I think they still are. I mean, I think that they're you know, especially Gentry, such a big target. And I mean, I think he learned a lot from the Notre Dame game. I seem to be the only one in the press box in my row thinking he could have played a little harder on that touchdown pass, potential touchdown. He's in the end zone. The defensive back made a great play, but you know, this guy played basketball, and I think you know you gotta throw your weight around a little bit and get that ball. So. I mean, he's just going to get better. And I think, and McCunis too. So, I really think that those two are going to have big years. So it's only two games in, make it sound like, you haven't done it yet. So who knows when, but there's still a lot of season left.
There's a ton left. And we all talk about, Western and, SMU, but we at the beginning of the season we were talking about this is one of the toughest schedules in college football, and it's just coming. It's coming. Just be prepared. Just be patient. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you should look at last week's game and think, oh, suddenly Nebraska's not so good, and then Northwestern. I mean, it's a Big Ten season, and I do always buy in the fact that teams get up to play a team like Michigan, and they get up to play a team like Ohio State. So I certainly don't think people should underestimate what Nebraska is going to bring into Ann Arbor. And I thought all along that the game at Nebraska, I mean, pardon me, at Northwestern would be a huge game for Michigan, and I guess it could still potentially be a great game. So who knows?
They need to win, though, Angelique. That was a big loss for them, because I'm sure Fox was going to do something with that at night. I agree with you, but it does.
I hope it's not. But
of course you don't. Of course you don't.
I'm so spoiled. It just stinks leaving the press box at 2:30 in the morning after a night game, but who cares about me? I know fans like it. So
I was mad that they moved SMU to. I thought SMU for sure was going to be a noon kick. But
I know, I heard you this week say, Matt. I know, I agree, but oh well. I guess people have more fun tailgating. Last week it seemed like such a rush.
No,
everybody
you're
got
right.
there late, and so Jamie, it's not about you. It's not about me.
Nope.
It's not the fans.
Nope.
What they want.
You're right. You're right. Hey, I know it's getting to that hour, so I appreciate you coming on, because you don't.
Yeah, you don't really invite me. You don't invite me in. You call me after the fact. That's from on the air.
If we have that extra smoothie, it's going in the freezer with her name on it.
Okay. Exactly. We got you. Okay.
I'm counting on that.
We appreciate it, Angelique Shingalis from the Detroit News. Hey, if anybody knows Michigan, this person knows Michigan. Thanks, Angelique. Appreciate it. We got to go to a break, but we'll come right back. You're listening to The M Zone.